Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
One of my favorite media members who covers college football, Dennis Dodd, is joining us. CBSSports.com columnist, does a terrific job. He's tough, he's fair, he's a terrific writer and reporter, and he joins us now. How are you, sir?
I am good, John. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm housebound, and like everyone else, kids are running crazy. I'm losing my mind, too. How are you doing amid this, balancing work and home and isolation?
Okay. More. It's just my wife and I. We got a new house, so we, you know, it's just us. So getting a little stir crazy. We went out and just walked for a while. But, I mean, it's just, there's just one story after another with this thing. It usually could take some downtime. And now the season's going to start with, you know, I think fingers crossed by these stakeholders who are trying to get things going. So it's strange.
There's part of me that badly wants to see football be played. I like watching it. I like covering it. There's also part of me that feels like we're going too fast, Dennis. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm kind of there. I just, again, I think, you know, I think there's a way to do it, but nobody wants to hear that way. Like, scrap the rest of this year and maybe try in the spring, you know, to make sure these waves go down. I was not heartened by the fact that when these schools started to report last Monday, now we have, CNN has a COVID-19 athletic tracker. There are 10 schools that have had positives, where if you think about it, that's probably where they'd be found when they check in. But I thought we'd start to have problems in August with players on campus. Now we've already got it here. And the one thing that I've, you know, had this realization about, these schools aren't going to be very accountable to anyone when they have a positive. Certainly the local health authorities, absolutely, state and local. But HIPAA is going to protect, you know, the identity of the players, and the schools themselves don't even have to tell us if they've had any. Some will, out of duty, but I think a lot of this is going to go unreported.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're looking around, and I think ideally we'd like to see the players tested multiple times if you're going to pull this off.
Yep.
But you know, we're talking about one test and privacy, and I think it's complicated, Dennis, and I won't be surprised if we do see, you know, large swaths of teams with positive tests, or maybe stuff that, like you said, doesn't go reported. Do you think that it's possible that Michigan, for example, stands firm and says we're not playing and the rest of the conference goes on, or is that just unthinkable?
Oh, it's not unthinkable. Basically told us the commissioners long ago, read between the lines, not only are we okay with not all 10 conferences kicking off at the same time, we're okay if schools within those conferences don't play. Those who want to, those who are going to play are going to play. And that's why I did that story a few weeks ago. What is even a legitimate playoff? Is that written in the language anywhere in that contract with ESPN? You know, what if Texas can't go? What if USC can't go? And I'm just spitballing here. I'm not saying they won't.
Yeah.
But is that still worth $475 million a year to ESPN? It has to pay those 130 schools. So there's all kinds of stuff wrapped up in this. And If they all go off at the same time, I do believe that there will be some that don't complete the season, some that can't, you know, that have to delay in the middle of the season, because I just don't think we're there yet. I'm not a doctor. It just feels that way.
Dennis Dodd with us, CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dennis Dobbs CBS. Great follow, does a terrific job writing columns. I know you've spent time with Mario Cristobal. I recently wrote that I feel like he's kind of built to be the right kind of coach at a time like this. Adversity doesn't seem to affect him, maybe like some others who are rigid with schedule. Is that going too far, or do you think this will be a weird season? It'll be interesting to see which coaches and which programs thrive.
No, I love the guy. I think he will get Oregon as close as Chip Kelly did with that team or beyond, you know, more than any time since then. I think he's the guy for recruiting. He gets it. I think he carries the flag, at least right now, to the Pac-12 in football. Again, I don't know if anybody's close. That doesn't mean they can't lose a championship game to somebody from the South, but they're going to be the favorites in the North, or should be, I would think. And he's assembled a great staff, so no, I think he's great, and he loves the area. You probably know that. I mean, a Cuban American from South Florida has absolutely fallen in love with the Northwest.
It's amazing because he's as far away as he could be from home, and yet he looks right at home. Meanwhile, Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, he's got a different task. He's trying to get bowl eligible, and I know you follow that program as well.
Yeah.
I think it would be huge for Oregon State. I mean, that's as big, I think, as Oregon making the playoff, getting that quickly back to bowl eligibility.
Yeah, when they had a chance in the Civil War to get to 500, it didn't look good. Even then, you were sitting there going, boy, this has been quite an accomplishment. 5-6, with a chance to go to a bowl if you beat Oregon. Right place, right time for Jonathan Smith.
I want to know, like, as you look at, we always make the playoff sort of, if you don't make the playoff, your conference is a failure. We've talked about that a lot when it comes to the Pac-12. I kind of felt like the Pac-12's model, where they were going to play a Pac-12 only schedule, maybe, that was one possibility floated, might return us to the days where a conference championship really meant something. And maybe it's just nostalgia in me, but I was kind of wondering, like, you know, as you examined and as you heard and you saw things changing on a day-to-day basis, what good ideas do you think could come out of this time of year in this pandemic?
Big picture, that college football doesn't have to be 12 months a year, because we had this giant swath cut out of the middle of it. And it looks like, you know, they're going to start getting ready for this season on time. In other words, mid-July. You know, it just culturally, it got to be that way since about the beginning of the century. And then it was two summer school sessions. You got to come in on the offense. College football has been the leading killer. You know, 30-plus deaths, most of them in off-season workouts, shorts and T-shirts. Most of them died of exertional stress, you know, whether it be heat exhaustion, stuff like that. And try as they might, you know, guys keep dying. So I think part of this is, you know, we don't need to have this from January to every year.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, hey, I appreciate you giving us time, and you know, you do terrific work, and thanks for all you do. Give me your national championship game. Way too early to predict national championship game. Is it the same old, or we get some new teams in there?
No. I've got Clemson number one, Ohio State, or whoever the SEC champion is. Alabama's going to be the favorite to win the SEC, and I'm not head and shoulders. So one of those three. Here's your stat of the day. I talked to Lane Kiffin about that, about the diversity of playoff teams, because there have only been 11, I think, 11 or 12. LSU might have been the 12th team to play for it in the six-year-old history of the playoff. Now, I looked it up. Those teams have accounted for 15 of the 24 spots in the playoffs. So,
yeah, just the, it's the same,
right. Yeah.
Same old, same old. Dennis Dodd, I appreciate you. Thanks for making time.
All right, John, thanks.
All right, there he is, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. I know his phone was cutting in and out. Judah, was it bugging you? His phone cutting in and out?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, look, it's out of your control, and got some good nuggets along the way from him.
I was every time I started to say, it's not going to be good enough, we got to go, he would come back in and then pop back out. I know Adriana was dying because one of the things she does is she always checks the phone right before the guest comes on, and I'm sure it was fine before the guest came on, and then ultimately you're in a position where it's like, damn.
Well, blame Dennis's new house for that one.
Well, he's settling in. It's weird times, right? I am broadcasting from the home studio. I've stopped saying I'm broadcasting from the home studio. I'm just broadcasting now. All right, coming up, my wife will join the show in the 2 o'clock hour. I want you to be here for that. Also, we will talk about a variety of sports stories that are big time. This Oregon Lottery thing, I think, will mushroom into something much larger. By the way, Michael Jordan went fishing, and no surprise there, he caught a 442-pound marlin on a fishing trip. All I catch is, you know, tangled lines, lose a couple lures. Jordan reels in a marlin, record-setting marlin. Twitter has a recommendation for you, and baldfacetruth.com is undergoing a makeover. I'm going to ask you what it needs to include. Need your help on that. Leave it here. I've supported the Oregon Lottery. I even opened an Oregon Lottery account because I wanted to know what you guys were going through. And I did find that the system was fine for me, although I wasn't trying to get in there on the first day. Still have an account, but I'm not betting on ping pong. By the way, saw the story that the number one thing that we wagered on, more than half the money that Oregonians wagered on when it came to the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app in the month of May, was ping pong. You degenerates, get outside in June. Don't bet on hopscotch while you're outside. You don't need to be betting on ping pong. If you're betting on ping pong, you're just betting to bet. Okay? Football's coming. Baseball, hopefully, fingers crossed, will get its act together. The NBA will resume. Spend your money on improving your home. Spend your money on your kids. Don't be spending your money betting on ping pong. Or virtual go-kart racing. That's the new thing. There's no go-kart race. But the lottery is introducing virtual go-kart racing because they know that there's a possibility that sports aren't out there. Now, I'm not anti. I want to be on record. I'm okay with the Oregon Lottery doing this. I'm hopeful that it will make money. It needs to have college sports as part of the offering to get there. But I didn't like that story that came out in the last 24 hours. It's now online. You can look on Oregon Live. You can look on my Twitter feed. But a video that was posted on social media, just to recap, showed a bettor's attempt to wager on NASCAR. While attempting to confirm the bet, the odds got modified. It went from minus 110 to minus 150, which essentially means that the bettor had to risk $40 more dollars to win that same $100. Worse odds. Now, the bettor videotaped the transaction and backed out of the bet because the odds were unfavorable. And by the way, he was attempting to wager $550. On Ryan Newman in this NASCAR race. Now, the Oregon Lottery has offered an explanation to me. They say the line didn't just happen to shift. The traders reviewed the over-the-max bet, 550, offered to take it at minus 150 odds, and they moved the line for this bettor. For one bettor, the line got moved. Now, the Oregon Lottery wasn't doing this itself. SB Tech, the third-party vendor, controls the aspect of the equation there. But I think we can all agree on two things. A, the lottery has the right to move the line. They do. They're the entity. They can move the line. The casino sportsbook can move the line. They reserve the right. They're the house. Then you, as a bettor, have a right to look up and go, okay, that's the line. I'll bet on this side. I'll bet on that side. Or maybe I won't bet at all. The lottery has the right to move the line. B, though, the line should never be different for two different bettors. It opens a whole can of worms. Different for two different bettors. I can think of a multitude of problems with that. A, you're just selectively taking a bet here, a bet there. Can you imagine if a business did that? Can you imagine? I go in, I order a double-double burger, animal-style at In-N-Out Burger. They say to me, $4. Alabama Adriano walks up behind me, says, I'll have a double-double burger, animal-style, and they say, $6, please. No business could get away with doing that. Alabama Adriano, you'd have him in court tomorrow. Discrimination.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
Probably. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, we haven't heard from you. It's almost 2 o'clock. What's going on?
I know. It's been a busy show.
Whew. Was Dennis Dodd's phone bugging you?
It was driving me crazy, especially from what you said. When I talked to him, it was fine. And then about 3 minutes in, it just starts breaking up.
Yeah. And I let it go because I thought he was... Every time I went to go, hey, Dennis, we're having a problem here, he would just come back in and come back out. Do you have that problem? Do you call certain people? Do you realize that they have a bad area or bad reception or bad coverage? I don't know what you call it. I get bad coverage at my house with my cell phone.
Yeah, there's about three or four that we have on a few times a year. And I feel like we should just send them a landline because... It gives me a lot of anxiety to call them.
Alabama Adriana calls him and says, your window for installation is between 8 a.m. and noon on Friday. And then you show up and about 9:30, meander around the property like the techs always do when they're installing something. I know that those installation people are always doing something important, but I have thought over the years, like, man, that is a big window that they're giving themselves. I give myself no 4-hour window to do anything. I don't have that kind of time. And by the way, last time I had the line for the high speed line put in that was for this show at our house, the guys who came to put in the line, literally, like, I was amazed at the technology that they could run the line. They don't have to dig. You know what I'm talking about, Judah? They don't dig. They just, like, shoot it through the ground.
Right, yeah, that's impressive.
Well, they shot it through the ground in front of my house. And as odds would have it, they hit the sewer line.
I take it back.
It was impressive. I was like, that's hard to do. But all of a sudden, one of the toilets backed up, and I was like, what's the issue there? Roto-Rooter came over. They looked into the line. They're like, something's in the line. And I looked at the picture, and I went, that looks like a cable. And he said, did you have any? And I said, yep.
Yeah.
Got those guys back over here. They dug up the line. And then I had that problem. I don't know if you remember. We talked about this on the show. The guy who came back to dig up the line was enjoying a soft drink from his favorite fast food restaurant as he was digging up the line, and I don't have a problem with that. I understand. Guy gets thirsty while he's digging. But I had a problem because the security cameras caught him throwing the soft drink cup in the bushes in my front yard. And I got so mad that I called up their customer service line. I was that guy. Was I a Karen in that situation? Or am I in, was that only Karen if you're not within your right to be complaining?
I feel like you were half a Kevin.
Half a Kevin. I was a Kev?
Yeah, exactly.
Old Kev called up, and I said, you tell that jackass to get back to my house and get his cup out of the bushes and pick it up. And with it, by the end of business, that guy had come back to the house to pick up his cup. He should have. It's like, I feel like I do that enough with my own kids. Like, I'm constantly running around behind my kids going, hey, could you pick up this? Could you get that? Of course, you know, toys, Legos, nothing worse than stepping on a Lego at like 9 p.m. Lights are out. Go, lights out, guys. Oh, you haven't done that yet, either one of you. You guys, that's in your future, by the way. I hope you build up some calluses on the bottom of your feet. You will have children one day. Alabama Adriana, you're going to be a mom one day. Judah Newby, you're going to be a dad one day. You're going to step on some Legos.
I already have. I have a 7-year-old nephew who loves Legos. That's already happened to me a few times.
Yeah.
Ever since you mentioned that, I've just been practicing, spilling the Legos out on the new hardwood floor and stepping on them just to build those calluses.
You're in your early 20s, you think about firewalking. When you're in your 40s, you think that's nothing compared to walking through the house when it's dimly lit on an evening. All right, my wife's coming in studio coming up. It's a virtual roller derby. I saw some ratings numbers on the what we're calling the happy hour, 2 to 3 p.m. yesterday. Showed me some ratings numbers for the last month. The 2 o'clock hour is on fire on this radio show. And it's never been more highly rated than it is right now. I'm assuming because my wife comes on the show and you all get a glimpse at what it's like, what my life is like behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, stay tuned. It will not...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.